Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Hillary Parker, the Parkersaurus.
Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay.
Susie, going toe-to-Tobin.
Anna.
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old browse. I'm Ronnie Karam. I'm also on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast, which is coming back in January, the 1st, to be exact. And here I am with my co-host, friend, and gorgeous little scoundrel, Mr. Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben.
Hi, what's going on?
Nothing, having fun. We just had the best time doing the Vanderpump Rules Season 7 Trailer Breakdown over on our Patreon bonus. We love to do trailer breakdowns. We take a 2-minute trailer and do an hour and 5 minutes on it. So if you want to hear that, become a Patreon member. Go over there. And thanks to everyone who supports us. Also, we are going to Seattle this week. We're going to be doing our Real Housewives of Dallas recap in Seattle. It's going to be amazing, okay? Then next month, we are going to be in Nashville. And you can still get tickets for that over at watchwhatcrappens.com. It's also where you can get links to our Christmas and Hanukkah t-shirts. Both are Ramona Singer based, okay? Ho, 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 okay? And happy Ramonica. Go get those over at crappensmerch.com or on our website, watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, there are very special Ramona leggings. It's Ramona as Santa Claus. You'll find those under the ho, ho, ho design over on our website.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're coming to our show in Seattle or Nashville, like, wear your Crappens garb and, you know, it'll be cool.
Yeah, so that's all that stuff out of the way. Now, today is a very special day because it is the return of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah.
But
and on top of that,
also,
there was some craziness. Oh, yeah.
On top of that, there was some craziness with what?
Married to Medicine. Is that what you were going to say? Did I step on you?
No, I don't care. Step on me all you want, okay? Married to Medicine was insane. And so Bravo's kind of fucking over Married to Medicine. They moved it. This is the last week it's going to be on Sunday.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I just feel like that's not very nice. They're moving it to Saturday. Like, who does that?
I know. It's going to be all alone by itself on Saturdays. That's sort of weird, right?
Yeah, I don't like that. I think Married to Medicine has worked very hard. Okay.
It really has, and it's been a great season. I think this is the best season since season one, and the show just gets kicked around. This happened last season. Last season it was sent to Friday night. I mean, maybe Marriage and Medicine is just the ambassador for different nights on Bravo, because now Bravo has a Friday night thing going on. They've got Home by Bravo. I actually did not watch any of the new shows that premiered this past Friday, like Sweet Home and Buying It Blind, but that's okay. I did watch Get a Room with Carson and Tom, which continues to be hilarious and like just so good. So maybe that's the plan with the Married to Medicine. They're going to start up something new on Saturdays.
I don't know. I guess time will tell, okay?
Maybe that's where Dirty John will be.
No, they won't put Dirty John on a Saturday, will they?
Never. No,
yeah,
no.
Saturday's
got, like,
a nightmare. Why would you do that? I get building a night, but Saturday, and Married to Medicine's doing well in the ratings too, so I don't even know, okay? I don't even know how to explain it, but we're going to kind of have to fuck it over too because, you know, Atlanta started. So we're going to still cover Married to Medicine, but they're going to be a little shorter. And this week, it was okay because really, the whole thing about Married to Medicine is that ending, girl.
God.
Married to Medicine is really good at just having a good fight at the end.
Yeah. But first, we're going to talk Atlanta, and then we'll get to Marriage to Medicine. Atlanta is back. We have a new cast. And, of course, leave it to Kenya Moore to upstage her previous show by giving birth to her baby Saturday and trying to steal headlines away from Atlanta's premiere.
Yeah, but doesn't it really just help in the end?
Yeah, probably.
And apparently the baby's real. I mean,
it's a real baby.
That's huge news. I thought it was going to be like a Beyonce baby where, you know, it was just pretend.
Well, no, she had some sort of complications with her pregnancy, a pre-eclampsia or something like that. Her feet were swollen. So I think they had to induce. I don't know. I mean, like, leave it to me to not really read the article about it, because guess what? I also don't really care that much. So,
well, yeah, the article just says Kenya had a baby and that she had you know, look at her Instagram picture of her swollen foot, you know?
Yeah.
So, but congratulations to her and her little munchkin.
So we have no Kenya on the show anymore. Instead, we have Eva, and then we will be getting the Belle Biv DeVoe lady. So this season opens up. We get some real jazzy opening music, just sort of like to get us in the mood. Atlanta is back, and we see Nene making tea sandwiches, little finger sandwiches for tea time or something. There's tuna.
I love watching Nene pretend she's fancy. You know, we saw this when we covered some season one episode at a live show this summer, where Nene's in the country club and she's acting like she's really fancy, but she's ordering a baked potato or something. And that's very Nene memories of that scene here, because she's like, oh, you can tell the difference between the chicken salad and the tuna salad. I was like, yes, Nene, you're so fancy.
I know. You could see that, like, Lauren Manzo somewhere was like, what about the egg salad? And then we see Cynthia once again in her kitchen, FaceTiming with a dude at a basketball game. At this point, we don't know who he is, just a guy who's at a basketball game.
Yeah, I wrote, Cynthia has worked a lot on her personality. And by that, I mean her kitchen. She's like, look, I have a whole jar full of peppermints. And I was like, whoa, it's a new Cynthia.
Yeah, she's she's like, these days I've just been feeling blessed. Well, I mean, technically it's more my kitchen island, because I put a sign on it that says, bless this home, but...
I'm going to go through this season clean. And by clean, I mean my counters.
I feel fabulous. I mean, I bought some fabulous and I've been spraying down the counter.
It's like, Noelle, do not give me any Windex, ma'am, young lady.
So then Listen, I am working on my acting. I've become a real method actress. I've purchased some method cleaner, yes.
It's been a rough year, but, you know, we're on the up and up, girl.
Listen, it's been a tough year, but what's important is that I've been focusing on all of me. A-L-L, that's all.
Portia may be getting married, but I'm making a pledge to you, sir. A lemon pledge.
There's just been a tide of emotion rolling over me.
So next we see Candy over at her rehearsal for Escape, and Tiny's like, what's up with these mic stands? Which I just thought it was funny. I'm glad that Tiny's going to be a character now in Real Housewives of Atlanta. I've needed that.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice to have a crossover from T.I. and Tiny over in the world of Bravo. And then we see Eva, who's with her baby. So there's that. And then finally we sort of land on Portia and her new boyfriend, Dennis. And they're driving. And, you know, Portia is so rude. Kenya leaves the show, and Portia basically takes over her hairstyle, okay? So now she's taking over her hairstyle, and she also kind of takes over all her stories, you know? It's like,
what do you mean, after, like, oh, yeah, like going to a bar or restaurant and marrying the owner immediately.
Yeah, pretty much. And then trying not to show them to everyone. And then later on, she's going to get pregnant. She's basically taking all of Kenya's stories, which is kind of a pretty impressive move. I mean, that's how you get ahead in life, right? You co-opt and then you make it your own.
I guess, but Portia's way more fun. Kenya stressed me out because she was just a mean, awful person most of the time. But Portia's fun. I know Portia, people still haven't forgiven Portia. I forgave Portia pretty quickly.
Like, I think people forgive
her. If you make me laugh, like, I forgive you, okay? If we can forgive Marlo for cutting some lady's face, you know, and then, like, all the tragedy that ensued, I say we should forgive Portia, too, okay?
Oh, I think we've all forgiven Portia. I think everyone loves Portia. You know, she's just Portia. She can't help but being Portia.
I mean, talk about forgiveness. Portia's forgiven CeeLo. She's even marrying the guy.
Yeah. So Portia's driving along with this guy, and she's like, I said at the beginning of the year that I'm going to marry the man. This is going to be the year that I'm going to marry a man. And this year, I'm going to get married to a guy. Whatever. I was like, You say that every year. Like, every single year. You know, you say it at the beginning of every year, eventually you're going to be right.
I secreted this. The power of the tongue is real, girl.
I'll bet it is.
Yeah.
The power of the tongue has always been the way to a wedding ring. Was I the only person who went to Catholic school?
So Dennis, we learned about, you were actually on this podcast. Yes, you were. So Dennis, we're going to learn more about Dennis now, which is that he owns several lounges and hookah lounge and a nightclub, and he's the owner of the original Hot Dog Factory, which is quite the resume. I'm getting some like Peter Thomas vibes off of him already.
I kind of am too, except that Peter Thomas didn't really own anything. He had like Bar One, and then he had like the Cynthia coffee shop by where Martin Luther King got shot. Remember?
Yes, of course.
Peter's Brew. Yeah. This is like a guy with real jobs, I think. I didn't look anything up, but I know that they're real because Portia won't stop making hot dog jokes. She's like, he's the boss of Atlanta. He owns clubs and the original hot dog factory. He bring in hot dog coins. America loves hot dogs. These hot dogs are going to put a ring on my finger. Let's just say I like them doggy style. Let's show them what these weenies do. Girl, I'm going to wrap my bun around your weenie and be a mama.
It's like, okay, Portia, okay.
I relish my time with him. I can't wait to catch up for lost time.
I don't know where he's from, but he's a Hebrew national, I'll tell you that.
I have to muster up all the strength to be with him in the morning sometimes.
You know, sometimes he likes white buns, but I just put up with it.
Currywurst!
He's cheating with buns.
I thought his name was Nathan for the first 6 months of our relationship.
When he tells joke, I tell him he's a corn dog on a stick.
Oh, so stupid. Okay, so Nini, I didn't write down all the taglines because I figure I'll have all season to notice all these taglines, but Nini's is hilarious. She's like, I'm the glue for my wig and my family.
Yeah, that was like these taglines were really something else this year. That one was a really notable one. The glue for my wig and my family. That's like almost as bad as Sheree last year, who was like, call me a bad waiter because I'm always spilling the tea.
I just love that Nini keeps her wigs on by sheer force of her attitude. You know, it's like, you will stay on, wig.
Last time I checked, her wig came undone, though, so I don't know how good her glue is. So Cynthia then, she fully steals from Ramona Singer. She's like, I aged like a fine wine, and now I'm ready to chill. I'm like, no, you cannot touch the fine wine. That is a Ramona Singer, okay? Like a fine wine? I only get better in time, and I'm ready to chill with Avery, who's my daughter. We're kind of like my best friends. We're going to chill and hang out with you girl twine.
His line was that Cynthia's?
Cynthia said that, yeah.
I'm like a fine wine. Now I'm ready to chill. I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's how wine works in general.
I mean,
I don't think
like,
you age it and then you chill it. I think that messes
with
the
chemistry. I mean, I don't
know
how whites work, white wines work, but red wines definitely no.
You don't chill white. You don't age white wines, do you? I thought that was only for red wines. I've never
seen
anybody.
Do you age champagne?
I don't know.
Chill that?
I don't know, you guys. I'm ignorant, okay? I'm not saying I'm not ignorant. I'm just saying I don't think that's how wine works. And it just confuses me with Cynthia, you know? It's like, what is this, 53? Is this the year of 53 or 52?
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly. And then you have, then we have Candy. She's like, see, no, Riley, I count my blessings and my checks. Which I feel like that's a solid one. That's a good, you know. Good one.
I feel like Candy should just read her LinkedIn at this point, because every season is like, look at Candy's new job. It's like, look, here I am getting celebrated at a magazine.
Excuse me, everyone. I sneezed.
Oh, bless you.
It's very intense. There's a lot of candy. Candy brought it out on me. Eva goes, I live a model life. Now I'm ready to be a top wife. Mm. Which, you know, I get it. America's Next Top Model. But
wasn't that show canceled?
I know, I was like, I don't know.
I was canceled.
And Portia is finally just like, I took a lot of left turns and now things are just right. Like, you're still driving in circles.
Finally, someone on your block that you could marry, because that's the only way, that's the only place you ever went.
She's just driving. I'm just imagining her in like a big wheel, just going around and around in circles in the cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
I'm late to work. I just keep making left turns.
You know what? Before we go any further in this episode, before we dive into it, we want to do a little cross promotion with another podcast. I don't know if you guys have heard of Who Weekly, but they're a really awesome podcast that's out there. And they basically are a podcast about everything you need to know about celebrities that you don't know.
Celebrity goss?
Yeah.
Is it work?
Yeah.
Well, go check them out, you guys.
Can you name a Rita Ora song? Can you tell the difference between Bryce Dallas Howard and Isla Fisher? The job description of Justin Bieber's new wife? Because you answered no to all those questions. You should check out Who Weekly. It's a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and Bobby Finger. And it's all about the least famous and most entertaining category of celebrities, the Whos.
Every episode goes deep into the biggest Who-lebrity stories of the moment. And they even have a weekly call-in episode, and you call 619-WHO-THEM, where they answer the most burning listener questions, like, what the fuck does Justin Bieber's wife do? I want to know.
I didn't know you had a wife.
Me neither. I know that he turned, like, really Christian-y and stuff.
Yeah, I think he always was. But either way, Who Weekly airs twice weekly with new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. So tomorrow, go check them out. And you can check it out wherever you can get your podcasts. So everyone, go check out Who Weekly, because they are also this is like a little cross thing. They're going to endorse Watch What Crappens on their podcast. So we're trying to support each other, because this podcast community, we all help each other. We all rise up together. And it's, you know, like, we are so happy to take on any new listeners from them, and they will be happy to take on new listeners from us. So big hugs, group hugs in the podcast world.
And vice versa. Yeah, everybody, hugs.
Yeah,
okay,
hugs.
Okay, so let's see. Now we start with Portia, and she's back at the jeweler again.
Yeah.
Back at the same old jeweler. And Lana's like, good see you. She's like a Russian redhead, you know? She's like, I have some goodies for you. This man is from the football, right? She's like,
no, this was a weenie guy.
Oh, good. Come in.
Yeah. Yeah. Lana gives me, like, Red Shoe Diaries softcore porn. You know, like, you know in those softcore porn movies, they always have someone be like, I am a business lady. And they sort of cram her into a ill-fitting business suit that doesn't quite look right. Like, it's like Shannon Tweed trying to, like, convince us that she's the CEO of a fashion label, and you're like, okay, it'll only be like a few minutes before you take it all off, you know that's what Lana,
yeah, Lana is a very sexy Russian name. And my dentist, the main lady at the dentist's office, is Lana, and she's always like, hello, how are you today, Rondal? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is so it's just in the numerology of that name, Lana. Yeah, you know,
Lana.
She's like, listen, here is how much your crowns will cost, Rondal. And I'm like, oh, God, this should hurt, but you're just so damn sexy.
Sexy dentist. So Portia and Dennis have been together for 5 months, and he said that he loved her on day one. And in Portia's mind, that is, like, so amazing and romantic. But in my mind, I'm like, girl, be careful. Cordell alert. Don't you know this is the pattern of, like, possessive men? They like to lock that shit down immediately and say, like, I love you. They lure you in. They lock it down. And then next thing you know, like, all the tuna cans have to be ordered in a specific way.
Yeah, but Portia doesn't care if they're possessive. She's like, you can literally buy Portia. You know?
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't care if she's possessed. She didn't care with Cordell. The only time she cared was when he kicked her out of the house and changed the locks. It's not like that was her decision, you know? She'd still be with him, happy as a pea in a pod.
That's true, too, actually.
This is so Portia, too. Like, I went to his club, and he said, I loved you, and now we're together. Like, okay. I hope you at least got, like, some free onion rings. I mean, Jesus Christ.
She gets, like, a goodie bag of ketchup packets every day.
So, yeah, basically they're just looking at gigantic $500,000 rings, which
yeah.
I just don't trust. I mean, congratulations on your hot dog business.
Yeah.
But I don't trust a man who just drops. Well, we didn't see him drop this much. So this is just
no,
what
he doesn't.
Looking at.
This is but, classic yeah, Bravo. Yeah. Let's look at all the expensive things and let the audience assume I'm going to buy one of these. But actually, after looking at these fancy rings, I'm going down to the vending machine and getting a candy ring.
I'm going to dig up my mother and we'll take hers. Like, it's my mother's ring.
It's like a ring made of like sausage casings.
Yeah. So Lana's I'm in. It goes with the hot dog theme.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's yeah, that's fine. It's for a very specific crowd. The sausage enthusiasts out there. It's actually like a ring of mini sausages, just like a bunch of links all
this
tied together.
This ring cuts the mustard, literally.
He really hit it out of the ballpark.
Oh, good. Okay,
I'm
so then...
out of hot dog buns.
Let's go out to the movies. Let's go out to the movies.
I'm just imagining the hot dog dancing.
I'm imagining like a Twizzler being so resentful that it doesn't have the lead in this dance line.
It's always that hot dog that wants to go out to the movies and have themselves some fun. Hot dog and a soda walking out. I guess she's the soda then.
And the popcorn has always been so confident. It's like wearing a bucket. And it's like so, it's like, I don't care. I'm going to get out there and dance like Ricky Lake in Hairspray. Like, what do I care?
Portia has been dreaming of the day that she gets to join the hot dog, the popcorn, and the soda as they go out to the movies. And now she's closer than she's ever been.
Yeah. Oh, poor she. So next up, speaking of movies, Nini is carrying my favorite snack, which is a giant basket of prescription medication. So I'm like, this is going to be such a fun scene. But then it's not. It's poor Greg.
I know. Poor Greg. He has stage 3 colon cancer, which I did not know about that. I didn't see it in the gossip rags. And that's so I feel bad, you know. And Nini was saying, like, you know, she's been taking care of him and she's had a lot of tough moments, crying alone. She's like, if my car could talk, it would say, this bitch cries too much, which is really funny, but it's also sad.
Also, this bitch says a lot of really mean things to other drivers. Can you imagine being Nini's car? Oh, my God.
It's like, this bitch is sticky. She's like, I'm the glue. Get it?
The steering wheel is like an abuse victim because you know she just beats that wheel when she's screaming at people. Like even when she talks and she starts like hitting the table or whatever. Poor steering wheel.
By the way, I just want to point out that Nini's tagline, I think, is the first time in the history of like playground taunts that someone has willingly chosen the glue instead of the rubber.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Whatever you say to me bounces off you and sticks to me.
I'm glue, you rubber. Someone's like, I'm rubber, you're glue. Yes. Anyway. Oh, I was going to finish that. No, I'm glue. Yes. Go on.
So she's basically talking about Greg's cancer, and it's really, really sad. And I was like, way to have a strong opening, guy. I mean, it's not like you can just pretend he doesn't have cancer for the opening just so I have a fun opening to watch. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's like it feels like a weird thing to complain about. But, you know, also like who doesn't complain about cancer? Like it's the worst thing to ever happen. So just, you know, we haven't said it for a while. So just our regular shout out to cancer. Fuck you, cancer. Go fuck
you,
cancer. Yourself. Fuck you.
Go fuck yourself. Fuck you. Also, though, I mean, like, I'm not saying we have to avoid hardships on these shows, but, like, maybe a transitional scene of, like, Cynthia rearranging, like, pepper shakers, maybe that, like, could have eased us into it rather than going from, like, Portia being so happy about, like, hot dog love and then going directly from there to cancer. That's a big turn. And, like, just, like, maybe, like, you know, Cynthia is, like, putting some napkins in a holder or, like, something like that to be like, oh, man, I wish I had a scene that had something more going on with it. And then we'd be like, oh, okay, now we're ready for cancer scenes.
Yeah. Cynthia, like, opening an aged bottle of white wine that tastes like shit. She's like, damn it.
She's like, damn it, that's balsamic.
Yeah, I don't think I did this right. Okay, so the next scene is Candy at rehearsal with Escape.
Yeah.
They're not in rehearsal, they're in a limo, huh?
Yeah, they're in the limo, and they're getting an award from ASCAP because they like sold platinum albums and stuff. It's like lifetime achievement, and it's pretty cool. It's like, very exciting. And Tamika's like, yeah, what sort of food do you think they're going to have there? And they're like, shut up, Tamika.
Yeah. So then Cynthia. Okay. So the best thing about this episode is... like Cynthia porn music.
Yeah.
They're like, but oh well, baby.
Yeah, she's, and then like we're watching her put frozen grapes into her glass and she just like drops them in there like with like reckless abandon. I'm like, girl, you are going to break your glass. She's like dropping them from like 3 feet above, like clunk, 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 clunk.
So first sexy. I was like, grapes in wine.
At first, I was like, what is she doing? Why is she putting grape, like, frozen grape? And then I realized there were ice cubes, basically taking the place of ice cubes. So and then I felt stupid.
Cynthia's, yeah, that's like an old, that's an old, old trick or old Food Network trick I saw on some show. Also, they teach you in Weight Watchers, just put grapes in the freezer, and then it's like having little drops of ice cream. No, it's not. It's like having frozen grapes. Okay. Yeah. I'm just warning all of you now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, we know where Cynthia's at because of her kitchen, because that's her personality. And her kitchen has a whole jar of peppermint. So, you know, she's making out with somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, her phone rings, and it's, she still has the generic ringtone on at the, you know, like the dun 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 dun, dun whatever it is. You know, I, it's like so generic, and yet I couldn't replicate it if you asked me to. You know, it's like the starter ringtone.
Yeah, I know, actually, and I can't think of it either. And we can never think of it when we talk about it. It's like and dun, 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 dun. No.
Yeah, that's the that was A Team, I think.
Damn it!
But dun, 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 dun. Now I would like it if she had the A Team, but she has that generic, like, you know, just the generic one, and she has. She has a case. She has like a zebra skin on her phone. So she's not against customizations, but she's like satisfied with the generic Apple ringtone. I don't understand.
Yeah. So she tells us about Mikeyl.
Yeah.
And of course, Cynthia, you know, it's love because she can name drop in the same sentence as she's introducing her guy. She met him. She's like, I met this guy through my good friend, Steve Harvey Child. We've been together.
Sugar says it was love.
Oh,
I asked 100 people if they liked Mikeyl, and these are the answers. Yes. Yes, so, with reservations. No.
Cynthia's most comfortable way to love over FaceTime. It always has been. And so they FaceTime, and she tells us, what makes him different is he swam in the cool waters of Lake Cynthia many times. And they try and make it sexy because the music's like, a pachowo!
A pachowo!
But you know, she really meant like he literally swam in that lake.
Yeah. he got some parasites.
Because he refers to their vagina as cool waters. It's like, it's not very inviting, you know.
Well, it's better than like a swamp. So Mike he's a sportscaster for Fox Sports, which he looks so familiar to me, and I don't think it's because of Fox Sports, but maybe it is. I don't know. But they're talking, and then they're starting to get like a little hot and heavy, and then Noelle just walks in and like ruins the mood. And so they're having a nice moment, and I think he says or she says something about the fact that Cynthia's drinking wine, like, oh, winding down, drinking wine by herself or something like that. And Cynthia's like, I don't drink a whole lot of wine. And while she says that, like, I don't know if you noticed it, the frame behind her was just like 12 wine bottles.
And she also had a fishbowl for a glass. I mean, she had a really huge glass.
Yeah, it was like a chalice.
And then she was telling us how Noelle met him, and they were apparently at her house. And she says, they met because Noelle came home early one night, and it was awkward. And I'm saying too much now. It's like, whoa, what happened? He's like river rafting, you know, in the frigid waters of Lake, you know, Cynthia or whatever.
He's fly fishing.
She's like, and Noelle can tell you a river ran through it. So, saying too much now.
So now we go to Eva with basically with her boyfriend Mike, or fiance Mike, and her child Marley and the baby, and they're at a photo shoot. And it's kind of like a big generic scene where Eva's talking about how Mike gets along with Marley so well because he met Marley when she was one, and he's basically the dad, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're going to take a family photo. And then she's like, all right, I'm the model now. He takes them all out. And then it's just like, smile, smile, smile.
Yeah, the real reason she's going there. It's like the Olin Glenn in the mall. Is it Olin Glenn or Olin Mills?
Yeah, she's basically at Sears.
Olin Mills, I think. It's like the Olin Mills in the mall when your mom's a camera whore. You know, it's like, all right, get out.
Yeah. So she models, and she's like, the difference between Cynthia's way of modeling and my way of modeling, it's about 20 years. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Shady. So now you're starting with age shaming, not liking it. But she does work in a Smize.
Yeah,
in there. So,
and she clearly is going to have a super fascinating, season storyline about getting married, and you know we love that, so that'll be fun.
That's something new. I like that she's age shaming someone when she's using her stint on America's Top Model in every single thing. Like,
I can't wait for Eva's scenes of, man, it is hard having a toddler and also having a 4-year-old girl. It is hard. Like, I may have to get a nanny. I can't wait for that scene too.
Yeah. I'm not into her so far. So next up, Nini at Swagalicious, her boutique.
Mm-hmm. No, just I thought it was just Swag.
Oh, this one's Swag and the second is Swagalicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. When your name is misguided, triple down. Okay.
Yeah.
Add an alicious to the end.
Yeah. I don't know. Nothing says haute couture like adding an alicious on something.
Yeah. So we've added a new character who I love. She's going through her Asa caftans, basically.
Yeah.
And then she's like, there's an empty hanger, Tavoris. And I was like, oh my God, yes.
He is the most bored assistant in the history of Real Housewives.
He gives the best bored shade of anybody ever. It's like he's bored, but he also hates your guts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's clearly doing this all for the gram, to be like, I just want to get some photos with Nini. That's all I want.
Yes, but he got stuck there, you know? He's like, ugh. Yeah. Cause Tavoris is like a magical name. Like, she got him stuck in this box. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just standing there. She's just ripping caftans off hangers, and he's just standing there like.
So then Portia comes over, and she's like, I brought flowers for Greg. Twerk, 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 twerk,
That's pretty much what it was.
That's Portia going through this entire episode. She's so fucking happy, you know. And we talked about this in the Vanderpump Rules trailer. Sometimes Bravo ladies, like, the only thing that matters and the only reason to wake up in the morning is, will I have a husband? Will some man validate me? You know? And Portia is one of those people, you know?
Yeah.
It's like she's got a man and she's just gonna dance through the entire season now.
She's just happy now, and Nini tells her that she's going to be doing a comedy show in Miami, and, you know, then when she gets back, she's opening up Swagalicious, as seen in Vogue. So, you know, Portia, of course, is like, oh, my God, you're going down to Miami. Well, that's so funny, because I'm going down to Miami with no one in particular.
My friend, my buddy and me.
And Nini's like, I know this is a man, Portia. Yeah.
And Tavoris just standing there like, oh, when's my Baja Fresh going to arrive?
Yeah, Tavoris is just hating them, the store, caftans, the flooring, everything. He looks at the camera like, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, because then Portia gets into some crazy hypercolor purple and teal thing and like comes out, like twerking and dancing all over the place. And Tavoris is like, I'm going to have to steam that.
I'm going to have to get the Porsche butt out of that.
Yeah.
She is dancing all around. She's like, look, this is how I'm going to make eggs. Twerk, twerk, twerk. This is how I'm going to make pancakes. And then so Nini just starts calling out things she can do in the kitchen. She's like, check the broiler, Porsche.
Use the Vitamix.
Clean the stove, Porsche. Blah. Uh,
So next up at District.
Candy and her family are having dinner there. It's like pre-show or the night before, whatever it is. But she's with the whole gang, you know. She's with Todd and Riley and Ace and Kayla and Don Juan, of course. And, you know, we're getting updates, you know. See, now Riley lost 52 pounds and she's getting a glow on. Don't want no drama. Don't need no drama. And by drama, I mean extra weight.
And Riley shows up as this like supermodel teenager who's just completely over it, and I'm loving this version of Riley.
Yeah, because basically we're having shades of Emily on OC because Candy and Todd kind of want to have another kid because they Todd's like, don't want to leave no friends behind. We don't want to leave anyone behind, and they is talking about embryos because he has two embryos left in the freezer and they're thinking about having them, and Riley's like, no, don't have them, mom. No,
I just lost the baby weight from the last one, you know. She's like, I have to raise these children, you guys are never home.
She's doing that thing where she's saying that Candy works too much, and Candy's like, see, now I don't work too much. I go to every single parenting thing and every teacher meeting. And then her phone's like, bling, 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 bling. She's like, whoops, I missed Ace's parenting meeting while I was talking about how I go to all the parenting meetings.
That was pretty perfect. And then Todd's like, yeah, but I have daddy daycare. And Riley goes, do we want to be honest about daddy daycare, really?
And then we see like a shot of Todd and Ace behind the wheel of a car. Was the car moving?
I don't know. Oh, was Ace really driving the car? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I mean, I know Ace wasn't really driving it, but like I hope that the car wasn't actually in motion with Ace just sitting there behind the wheel.
Well, I mean, they're the same size now. You know, why shouldn't you allow a baby to drive? If Todd is allowed to drive, Ace is allowed to drive.
Yeah. So there, you know, Todd is basically like, listen, if we want to have the lifestyle to which we're accustomed to / married into, then we have to work for it / your mom has to work for it. And I can just say things about what she should be doing.
If I want to live the life your mother has accustomed me to.
Yeah. And then Riley's like, well, money doesn't matter if you're not around. I'm like, that's true.
That's not true. Take the money. Okay. You're almost out of school anyway. Take the money.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, yeah, like theoretically that's true. But, you know, that money does afford you a lot of things, like the G-Wagon you got and probably the personal trainers that you were using.
Yeah, you have a stage in your bedroom, young lady, okay?
Young lady. All right.
So next up, speaking of rich people, who is Miss Chick-fil-A? Because that lady deserves a peach. I mean, she's the richest woman in town. The only thing people imbibe on this show is from Chick-fil-A, okay? The food, the drinks. Portia has this gigantic Chick-fil-A cup in the next scene. There's always at least one housewife with a Chick-fil-A cup in her hand.
Portia comes into her house and she just goes,
And another, I think this guy's new, Dominic, her assistant.
No, he was there last season. But he's quiet. He's a quiet gay.
Not and anymore.
So, well, basically, Portia's with her sister and this guy talking about Miami. And here's an idea. Why not invite all the girls to Miami? Because, of course, this is the new thing on really all the Bravo shows. And I'm not opposed to it at all. I actually like it to do an early season trip because it kind of forces the cast members together and to create some sort of drama that will hopefully carry on the rest of the season. I think it's actually a smart tactic, like not making us wait until, you know, the big cast trip that's 3/4 of the way through the season where all the real shit happens. So like get some shit started now. So this is what this is going to be. Miami is going to be the early season trip.
Yeah. So basically Portia calls all the ladies to come to the trip, you know, and twerks in her chair a lot and dances around.
Yeah.
And then
she... Wait, and then I like... Were you going to say that she calls Candy?
Yeah, I was going to say one of the last people she calls is Candy. Which Candy, when she's on camera, even if she's feeling anger towards somebody, is usually like, huh? But on the phone, she's just like,
Hello, boys.
Yeah. Well, I had forgotten about Candy's ringtone that she had made. Because Portia calls up, it's like, ring-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Hopefully I answer by the time I finish ringing. Ring-a-ling-a-ring-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a. Hi.
Hi, Portia.
Hi. And then Portia's like, hi, this is Portia. She just like takes this huge slurp out of her soda.
She's like, how's everything going? Candy's like, well. And she's like, oh, good. Well, everything's going good over here, too. And Candy's like, yeah.
So Candy Portia hates her so much. I love it.
Candy, the last person that Candy wants to hear from is Portia. And there's a producer next to her being like, you have to answer the phone. It's part of the show. Just answer the phone. She's like, no. So Portia's like, we're going to come down to Miami for Nini, et cetera. And then Candy's like, who else is coming? Portia's like, well, no one else can really make it, so it'll just be you and me, but we can fly together. And Candy's like, see, no. And Portia's like, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
it's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
So now, after the commercial break, it's time to pack and it's time to go to Miami. And Portia has now switched into this like big red wig. Well, it's not a big wig, but it's like bright red wig, and she's wearing this like white pants, and her ass is just huge in it. And there's like this shot of her running up the stairs, and all you see is ass and legs, and it looked like a swordfish steak at the supermarket going up a staircase, you know, like not a fillet, but like a steak with a cut across, just like that going up.
Also, Portia's the first person I've ever seen who thought Fantasia's Ronald McDonald hair on American Idol was a good choice. She's like, I'm gonna do that because she's wearing Fantasia red.
Well, it is sort of reminding me of Beyonce's hair in that movie she did with Ali Larter and Idris Elba, which was a very, very strong film.
You might remember it from the clips at the Oscars, everybody.
What was it called? It's called like I keep wanting to say the movie was called Unbelievable, but it wasn't called that.
I don't remember.
It was a great movie. Very important.
Really super, super great. Yeah. So, she's running around. She's excited for this weekend because she knows she's going to get proposed to. And she gets to go on a private flight, honey. And she's getting into the car and she's bouncing all around. And she's like, my titties are sweating. Oh, man, I should have kept my little titties. These big titties do nothing but sweat.
Yeah.
And I'm glad she pointed that out because the whole time I'm looking at Portia, I'm like, Jesus Christ, scoliosis.
Yeah.
Why would you
seriously.
Do that to yourself? Doesn't your back hurt?
It's a lot. Yeah, I have scoliosis. I barely have a B cup.
No, I have my natural breasts and my back.
Yeah, hurts. I have my man boobs, and those are giving me scoliosis enough.
So then Eva is packing with her kids, and one of them farts, and she's like, "Did you fart?" And then they crack up. And then Nini calls Cynthia, and she's like, are you going to come support me in Miami and my comedy show and all this stuff? And Cynthia's like, I have a conference call.
Good one, Cynthia.
Yeah, and hangs up on her, which that's really going to help, just totally ignoring Nini until you see her. What you really need to do is build up Nini's rage while she's already in a really hard place, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Also, Cynthia is so the person on the conference call that ruins the conference call. This is Cynthia on a conference call. This is Cynthia. What? I'm sorry. Were you? No, you go. You go. Uh-huh. Yeah. And you're like, Cynthia, do you like, there's a, you don't have to be on the speakerphone. It's only you there. Mm. What? I'm sorry. What? Huh? Okay.
And she keeps interrupting but never says anything.
Yeah.
They're like, what did you say, Cynthia? What was that? She's like, what? Yeah.
No, you go. I guess, okay. But I was just trying to. No, okay, no, never mind.
Yeah.
I guess I was just trying to.
This leg chat.
I just want to say that, like, I'm just really happy to be here on this call. It's like, oh, really? After 5 minutes of, like, stop and start, that's what you get out of it.
So then we go over to the ASCAP award ceremony, and Candy's on the red carpet, and Ace is crying, you know, and having a little fit because it's way past his bedtime. And yeah. So Don Juan, who, you know, poor Don Juan and poor Riley, because yeah. they both get stuck as the babysitters.
Exactly.
And it's supposed to be Todd earning his keep. But yeah. she, from the red carpet, Candy's just like, where is Todd? Is he there to take the baby? And Don Juan's like, probably at the bar. And then sure enough, he's over at the bar.
Of course. Don Juan. I mean, how many times has that baby been given over to Don Juan? Like, here, just take Ace. He's like, gets his full-on Tom and Jerry face. Yeah. So then, Jermaine Dupri makes a little speech about escape, and they get their award, and it's nice. I'm happy for Candy.
But
so
now we go to someone else gives the speech, and then Candy comes up at the end. She goes, "Oh yeah, also we'd like to thank our family as well for sticking with us." And it's like Riley's just texting, like, boring. Thanks for remembering.
Yeah, Riley
me, Mom.
Is over it. Thanks for referencing me at the end of your speech, Mom.
So then over in Miami, Florida, Portia and Dennis are riding around in this gigantic car. And he's like, why did you have to bring a suitcase for every damn day we're here?
She's like, it's turnip weekend. Like Little Lee in Miami, it's turnip weekend. Well, we're going to get a lot of turnips.
We're going to have so much fun. My friend's husband has cancer, so we're going to have fun.
Like, only Portia can work cancer into a party sentence. You know, make me still, like, want to go.
And then Portia's talking about, like, everyone's going to be there, like Marlo and Candy. You know Candy? And Dennis is like, yeah, I know her. And she's like, really? From where? He goes, I don't know.
Yeah, Sadie, this is already like, something.
We've met before. I mean, I go to OLG once a week,
which is also a lot. He's like, I live right there. He's like, I live right there, so I go there all the time. She goes, well, you haven't been since I met you. And he's like,
Portia turns into the lady from Airplane who's like, Jim never likes his coffee before noon, whatever. She's like,
Dennis never talked to me about OLG before.
But I might be getting proposed to this weekend, so I'm only thinking of that.
And I don't really think much of it at this point until we see the coming this season clips where Candy's like, I got some tea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she does eventually get proposed to, but I don't think this night is going to be the night. Because they get to their Airbnb and, like, guess what? There's a chef there and flower petals around. And he has a surprise for her. Here it comes. And it's clearly not a ring because the box is, like, wide and square. It's probably, like, a selection of e-cigarettes. But Bravo tries to make us think it's going to be something big and exciting.
And that's pretty much it for that. So why don't we move over to some Married to Medicine? Just do like a quick rundown of Married to Medicine.
Yep. Married to Medicine was so good this week. I was really, really into it. It's the usual fun stuff. We open up with a whole bunch of, typical scenes. Mariah's taking leaves off of a yellow rose, which is surprisingly docile for her. Although I think she probably enjoys that feeling of tearing something off of something else, and Jackie is with her patients, and she's like, I'm seeing fewer patients. I've stepped away from the practice, so I'm seeing fewer patients, but I'm spending more time with them. I'm like, well, that doesn't accomplish anything, does it then?
Yeah, she's like, Curtis and I are spending more quality time together. And then they show the clip of her washing his car.
I know.
Like, they're never going to let her forget that.
I've earned 10 punch-outs on my AutoZone card.
So I make this move that we just move towards the end. Because basically this is Toya's big couple trip to Antigua, which she calls Antigua.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they head to Antigua, and like there is drama out of the gate. I'm gonna say not the end, but I would say to the middle part of and then the end.
Yeah, because wherever they go to Antigua.
So they go to Antigua, and they separate.
How is it pronounced? I say Antigua. Is that wrong?
I thought it's Antigua. Could be Antigua. Antigua? I don't know.
You should have did is look it up beforehand.
Then I'm gonna look it up right now. I'm making fun of Toya, but I don't even know the truth, Eugene.
I'm gonna look up Antigua right now. Antigua. Antigua.
Antigua.
Well, it's spelled Antigua. Well, is it spelled Antigua? No, actually, I'm not sure
it's
it is.
G-U-A.
I think it is Antigua. Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, who knows? You guys, look, when in doubt, trust Toya. Trust Toya.
I don't know how it's pronounced. You know what? This may just be the blind leading the blind. It is definitely spelled Antigua.
No matter how it's pronounced, I've never heard Antigua before.
Antigua. No, you're right. I think it is Antigua.
Well, there we go, Gene.
So the thing is this. So they split into two villas for this whole thing. And by the way, Jackie has destroyed her leg by being aggressive with her fitness, which is funny.
And she also tapes every fitness session, I guess, to use for footage, because we actually saw the cell phone footage of her hurting her ankle randomly.
Yeah.
Which was weird.
Glitney, gimpy leg is the new hit. So the one villa has Mariah, Simone, Jackie, and Toya, and the other one's going to have Quad, Contessa, and Heavenly. So Toya takes Contessa and others over to the second villa. And apparently when they get to the second villa, this drama happened where a crab, you know, deigned to walk in front of Toya, and she got startled and and flailed her arms and slapped Contessa right in her mastectomy area.
I know, poor Contessa. What are you laughing at? Jeez.
Well, I'm laughing
like, what's
that
lobster
a crab
doing in here?
No, I'm laughing that there was a crab, and then when they told the story about what happened, because you could hear the audio, but they didn't have visual footage of it. So when they told the story, they showed the villa in black and white, and then you hear the, oh my God, what I should have dated it is a crab coming by. And then you hear like a, and you hear Contessa being like, ah. And then
like,
you just,
I'm sorry, but that was a crab. That was a cat in the middle of the road. I'm sorry.
And then they show footage of a little crab scurrying away in black and white. Like, there's the crab who did it.
Yeah.
There he goes.
It's like, dun, 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 dun. The crab's running away. The evil crab. Dateline. The crab that got away.
The crab.
Unsolved crab stories.
Oh my God. That, like, it just cracked me up. So now this sets the tone for what this first night in Antigua is going to be like.
Yes, because Contessa's breast got all swollen and bruised, and she's in bed with Scott, and she's like, is my breast swollen? He's like, I can't tell. She's like, but is it bruised? He's like, I can't tell. And she's like, well, I'm trying to be a team player, but she could have done that on purpose. Like, I don't know that she didn't do that on purpose, you know, which... I mean, Toya's a jackass, but she's not going to punch you in the tit on. It's not like she's walking around like, I'm going to hurt her the second I see a cat in the road.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, then they flash back to the crab a second time during this conversation. Like, hey, remember, in case you forgot about that crab, here it is again. And Toya goes, that damn crab came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Contessa's like, well, I'll tell you this. She didn't hit me in the face. She didn't hit me in the head. She didn't hit me in the knee. She didn't hit me in the arm. She didn't hit me in the shoulder. She didn't hit me in the stomach. She hit me in the chest. Okay? I pray that was an accident. I pray.
I'm like okay, settle Contessa, down, Contessa. Okay. Settle down. Yeah.
So then they're having a fiery dice party to represent a romantic theme.
Yeah. Fire and ice. Burning and frigidness. And so they're all getting ready to go out to this big dinner and everything. And by the way, Eugene and Toya's bed was right in the middle of the room. And that's also a design thing I really hate. You know, at the beginning of the season, there was a scene of Quad in a bed that was like up against the corner. It like wasn't flush against the wall. There was like a triangle of space behind it. And remember, that really bothered me. Another thing that bothers me is when places float a bed in the middle of the room. Like, it drives me nuts. It really bothered.
But look, at least there was a sidewalk outside.
Hey, Eugene, let's just take a casual walk from here to there, and I'm sure nothing. Oh my God!
Toya loves the sidewalk, man. So they're all getting ready to go out, and everybody's gathering in the living room. And Scott comes down in the wrong color. He's, like, in light blue. And so, like, why are you dressed like that, Elid? And he's like, well, Contessa had a misstep today. Toya saw what she described as a hairy cat in the road. And her elbow hit Contessa in the breast. And
She's like, that wasn't my elbow. That was my hand.
Because I was like, look out, it's a moose.
Ronald McDonald was in the road. And so he's like,
it was a Babadook.
He's like, well, either way, her breast is swollen. And then Curtis is like, well, do you need the ER doctor? We've got one here. And he goes, that's what I do for a living. So thanks. I was like, okay, you know what? This couple is kind of, they're kind of dicks at this point. They're pissing me off, this couple.
They're also being a little dramatic considering they're doctors. Well, actually, not so much Scott, but Contessa is. It's like, I get it. Doctors make the worst patients, but you're a doctor and you should be a little bit more chill about all this, okay? But you're like crying and you're like coming up with conspiracy theories about Toya and the crab. I'm like, you know what? You have to like lead by example here a little bit. Like, you're in the army. So just like, I know it hurts and it sucks and it's like, it's scary that it's swollen up, but like, you got to suck it up. You're a doctor. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I just, I feel bad for her, but it's like at this point now you're going to make it a fight that Toya punched you on purpose. I mean,
because of a crab.
Yeah. I just,
yeah. Like, Toya was blaming the crab. Like, this is truly like the Oliver Stone version, which is that like Toya was never scared of the crab. It's a conspiracy. She was waiting. Basically, Eugene ran ahead, put a crab on the side of the road, and Toya waited for the right moment so that way she could slap Contessa in the boob and blame it on the crab.
The crab blows its brains out in the bathroom at some point.
What have I done? I've been complicit in something that's been terrible.
Ooh, crabpocalypse now. So Mariah's like,
that was
so
hair in a wheelchair.
Did you really accidentally hit her? And she's like, yeah, the crab came out of nowhere. And Simone's like, well, she had already mentioned that she had pain. So maybe her pain was from before. And then Toya's like, well, I don't want this to hurt our vacation. You know, let's just forget it.
Yeah.
And so then Jackie tells us, she's like, now, I can't imagine what could have damaged her breast like that. But the fact that Toya did it probably makes the damage seem worse than it is. I was like, oh, God, these ladies, we're going to have a breast fight.
Yeah, we really will. So they all get on the party bus and they're heading towards their fire and ice thing. And again, they're talking about Contessa and Heaven's like, where are you now, Toya? That, you know, Contessa was thinking that maybe you did it on purpose. I don't know, like maybe you did. Did you do that, Toya? So I was like, ugh. And then everyone's like, everyone knows that if Toya was really going to come punch you, she would come for you. She would pull the hair. And of course, they show the flashback from season one, the epic pool party fight, etc. And Guad is like, now listen here. I insured her that it was an accident. I'm like, thank you for insuring her.
I proclaim this was accidental, monumental.
Now, Miss Contessa, stop.
What has transpired has been a confluence of various actions and deliberations that took force in the arm and towards the breasticles and the chest of face and bones.
And Tori's like, she need to get the fuck out of my villa then.
I'm like, okay, now you're going to kick the injured person out? Oh, Toya. Like, you just can't. Toya is unteachable.
And then that sounds like a children's book. But then Toya then
the unteachable.
I'm unteachable.
So then Toya starts to sob in the bus. And everyone, for some reason, it cracked me up because everyone's just sitting there and they all start going, Toya. And I just love that to happen at random times in life. It's like, oh, you'll hear people going, Toya.
I refuse to let a crab ruin this anniversary.
So at dinner, okay, so they get to dinner, and Toya and Eugene, being the head to this party, is already insufferable, this trip.
Yeah.
They're, like, every single thing, they're like, look what we did. I'm like, you did not, okay? Stupid production did this.
Yeah.
Let's stop pretending like you bought everybody a mansion on the beach.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So they set up this whole dinner, and they're all sitting there, and like, well, we love the little gift-giving. So now we sit through like a really annoying sequence of everyone giving each other gifts and Quad spending the entire time just like sipping from a soda, be like, oh, well, what I have, and he has no gift, but I have the gift of the Sister Circle, because Sister Circle is a gift unto itself.
One is the loneliest number I'll ever know.
The gift that I have is the gift of a brand new silly set of mattress that I stole from Dr. Gregory.
They're all giving each other diamonds, which is weird, and really nice jewelry. But Eugene's like, I purchased a diamond. This is the size of the diamond you'll get. And it's like as big as a baby fist. But it's just cubics while they wait for the real one or whatever. Yeah. And Toya looks pissed.
Yeah, Toya's not about that.
Yeah, and Toya, but Toya only got him a booklet of vouchers that's like, I could give you a tug bath.
She got hers from Spencer's Gifts. I mean, like, everyone else, like you said, diamonds or Chanel or cufflinks. She literally got, like, a gag gift for him.
Yeah, and then Heavenly's like, Daddy, I got you some Versace cufflinks, Daddy. I know you ain't got a shirt, but maybe you'll get one. Like, I love that he doesn't even own a dress shirt.
Yeah.
Daddy, I got you some Versace scrubs.
So poor Quad has to watch everybody else get a gift. Mm-hmm. And then Heavenly...
But she handles it well.
She handles it well, yeah. But this is where Heavenly gives her a gift, or is that later?
Yeah, so Heavenly's like, and now, Daddy, I thought it'd be nice to give something to Quad because she's alone and sad and stealing people's furniture and stuff. And, like, you can't spell IKEA without I. So, here you go, Quad.
And it's like, thank you. And, like, has a breakdown. And then Toya's like, okay, now we're going to do shit stirring. Yeah, this is a game we came up with called Questions. Eugene, the first question is for Eugene. Did you ever think of stepping outside of marriage?
He's like, nope, never.
He's like, I'm barely in shape enough to fuck you. Are you kidding?
He's like, I'm not taking any steps I don't have to take. When Toya asks, have you ever thought of stepping outside of our marriage? Quad goes, oh, you should ask Dr. G that question. And Toya's like, oh, why would I ask Dr. G if he's ever stepped out on the marriage? Why would I ever do that? And what we skipped over is that earlier in the episode, Quad revealed that she went to the club the night before and saw Dr. G dancing with a lady. And when they asked her, why were you at the club? She's like, oh, well, I had a friend and I had to pick something up from her. So naturally, I went to the club to get it and happened to see Dr. G there at the dancing with the girl. And it was so odd for me to see that.
At least I got my cookie sheet back.
At least I got my hand blender back.
I know the way she made it sound like obviously someone called her and said, Gregory's here dancing with some hoe, you know.
You need to see this and get it this way. Right. You need to see with your own eyes that make sure is like you get this leverage.
But she makes it sound like she's picking up drugs, you know. It's like I had to stop at the club to pick something up. It's like, oh, are you admitting to a coke habit? Like, what were you picking up at the club?
She's like, there was an edible arrangement that I was sent accidentally to the club, and I couldn't just let it sit there and be edible for other people. So she says, like, oh, well, you should have asked Dr. G that question because he, and so it's like, well, why? I don't even understand it. Which is hilarious. She's still so rattled from that crab. She can't figure things out.
Yeah, she forgot. And so everybody's like, ugh, Toya, you know, she's always saying the wrong thing. And she goes, well, I forgot because what I wanted to ask you about was why you took all the furniture out of the house. Because the whole beginning of the episode was them all reading the blogs, which only this show has that, where every cast member is reading the blogs at the same time. And they're always about who's cheating on who within their friend group. So that's where they all found out in the blogs that Quad went in the middle of the night while Gregory was gone and took all the furniture out of the house.
I know. And by the way, these sad blogs that they don't have anything better to report on than like cast members married to medicine off season. So, I mean, as we sit here talking about them. So, So Quad's like, well, the tabloids say a lot of things. They say so many things. You can't believe it all. And Quad basically says that Greg is just being petty and getting back at her. And like she doesn't really deny stealing everything, but she says that he's being petty.
Well, I like when Toya goes, well, I wouldn't take all the furniture out of the house because I wouldn't be leaving the house. Which I thought was funny. And her husband's like, oh, great. So Then it turns into Quad going on a Quad monologue, you know, sobologue, where she's like, I saw my husband dancing with another hole in my face.
Well,
I'm not breaking that down. Like going crazy because they're all bugging her. Mariah, well, especially.
Yeah, it's Mariah mainly. Because
yeah.
Quad is actually very well composed up until this point. She's like, listen, don't believe the tabloids. And then this is when Mariah, who's drunk, is like, well,
I mean, I think that your friends, we just want to hear something about your life. Anything about your life. That's all. We have questions. We just want to know something. And everyone's like, she just told us. What else do you want to know? She just did. And then Mariah's like, I just simply asked you a question and she can't speak for you. So Mariah's just now starting to stir the pot. And that's when Quad is like, oh, Mariah's trying to come for me, so I will turn on robot crying voice. I saw my motherfucking husband dancing all again.
And Heavenly's like,
take a shit.
Quad, you don't have to say anything, Quad. You do not have to, Mariah.
Like, she's like screaming at Mariah now. Mariah and Heavenly are screaming at each other now. And Heavenly's like, bitch, fuck you. Okay. So then it cuts to Jackie talking to us, and she's like, Heavenly spiritual journey, it's a damn mess. It's torn to shreds.
Yeah, exactly. And meanwhile, Quad is like, the fight has now moved on to Heavenly and Mariah, but Quad is like, no, I will not have you fight over me. I will not have you fight over me. Continue, please.
Yeah. Then Mariah, okay, Mariah and Heavenly are screaming. Mariah takes her glass and breaks it on the chair like a shank, like she's gonna stab Heavenly with it.
Yeah.
And then Toria's like, this ain't the Shawshank Redemption.
It was Plus Quad that said that. Quad is like, this is not the Shawshank Redemption. Oh. This is the Lambshank Redemption from my cookbook.
Also, the Shawshank Redemption would be funnier because she could just like dig a hole in her slowly with a spoon.
Yeah. So Mariah literally has a broken glass in her hand, Grand Theft Auto style, and Damon is like, oh, no, baby, no, don't say these things. That's not nice. I'm sad. I'm sad. You know,
and
he's like
Mariah's
trying to
like, no one can defend Quad against me, okay? I've known her the longest. And what'd she say? Heavenly
she's,
looks, oh,
so
she
Heavenly
said,
looks,
Heavenly
like,
looks
a
like a fool. Yeah.
Which, by the way, Mariah's argument makes little to no sense. Like, what are you talking about? Everyone's saying, hey, calm down. And she's like, no, I've known her the longest. Like, what?
Yeah, so I could be as judgmental as I want, which makes no sense. And then Heavenly whips out her famous yo mama. She's like, yo mama look like a fool. And then she kind of throws her chair. And,
Aiden.
Oh, God.
Aiden now.
That's family. That's family. Aiden, a yo mama joke isn't family. Get over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, please
Come
stop
on.
Being such literalists. Yes. Okay. Like, they are strict interpreters of mama jokes. Like, you know what? Like, and fuck you, Aiden. Your wife is sitting there. She's broken a glass and holding it in her hand like a weapon. And you sit there silently. And then Heavenly makes a yo mama joke. And he's like, whoa, that's family. That's taking it too far. I'm like, your wife has broken glass in her hand that she wants to throw or stab at someone. And this is what gets you mad? I'm like, come on.
Yeah,
have a...
They're the worst, those two. And she, Mariah's like, go get your wife. She's out of line. When are you going to tell your wife? Get your bitch. Get your bitch, okay? Because if I get her, it's going to be ugly. And then Daddy's like, I don't want to disrespect your wife, but inaudible grumbling talk.
And Mariah goes, everybody at this table has a mama. Everyone has a mama. I'm like, please, here's what you have to understand about Yo Mama jokes. Like, you know, that remember that show on MTV called Yo Mama? Like, that wasn't about
Oh, my God.
Mother,
Aiden probably
okay?
broke the TV. He's like, how dare you do this to my wife?
I mean, like, it's like the fact that that's the funniest thing about this show. The fact that Mariah keeps taking the Yo Mama joke so personally, and the fact that Heavenly can't help but make them, and the fact that Heavenly was so good all season, and then she just explodes with a Yo Mama joke and hurls a chair across the sand. It's kind of amazing.
So now the husbands are starting to fight, which is rare. Usually the husbands stay calm, but Daddy's all upset now. And then Mariah goes, I'll pico de gallo that hoe, chopped up and served on the side. I was like, oh, jeez.
Well, that's delicious. If she had said that, I would have been very proud.
If Mariah had been showing up here with pico de gallo and some fresh chips this whole time, I might like her.
Yeah, I mean, see, Mariah, you just have to frame your arguments in a way that we can understand. Pico de gallo, someone, all right, I will see where you want to go with that.
Like if you had called quad a corn tortilla, I'd hate the bitch too, you know?
Yeah.
But if you say wrap her in some nice flattened flour, I'm like, that's my friend. What are you talking, you know? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Frame it.
Yeah, frame it exactly. Properly. Yeah, frame it.
So that's the end of that. Next show, this show will be on Saturday. So we'll check in and see what's going on. But until then, tomorrow's Real Housewives of Orange County. So we'll see you then.
Yeah.
Until then, go listen to Vanderpump Rules trailer over on Patreon. You can also get tickets for our show this week in Seattle and our show next month in Nashville. WatchWhatCrappens.com. You'll also find shopping links for our Hanukkah and Christmas Ramona shirts and leggings.
Mm-hmm.
So go get them, everybody. We sure love you. Talk to you next time.
Be fun. Bye, everyone.
Hi, I'm Jessie Ware, and I'm here with my mother, Lenny.
Hi.
And we're from the podcast Table Manners, and we're currently getting sponsored by Campo Viejo. Not only is this wine from the premium wine-growing region of Rioja in Spain, it was created specifically to be shared with family and friends.
So, in the spirit of sharing, pour me a glass of Campo Viejo, darling.
Of course I will, Mum. But remember,
always drink responsibly.
You tell him, Mum.
Turn your distractions off and discover your new favorite podcast. This is Bose Recommends.
Hi, guys. I'm Nat Coombs from the NFL Show with Nat Coombs. Yep, that was a title that took us hours to come up with. We're thrilled to be involved with Bose Recommends because, frankly, we are having a great time making this show. We drop episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, and the clue is very much in the title. We're all about the NFL. I'm joined each episode by terrific guests from both sides of the pond, players past and present, journalists, comedians, writers, you name it. If they love NFL, they're in. So what are you waiting for? Get involved. Acast, iTunes, all your favorite podcatchers. It'll be good to have you with us.
Enjoy your new favorite podcast without distractions. Discover how at Bose.co.uk. Bose. Focus on.